Chapter 39. Dale Jarvis was just getting ready to clear his desk and leave for the 30-minute drive home to his wife and a traditional Friday supper of pork roast when there was a knock at the door and John Gossard, who headed up the agency's Africa section, entered. Gossard had come to the NSA from the Army after the Vietnam War, where he had served as a specialist in guerrilla logistics. A quiet man with a cynical sense of humor, he walked with a limp caused by a rifle grenade whose shrapnel had severed his right foot. He was known as a heavy drinker, but also as a man who fulfilled all his section's requests for data in precise and abundant detail. His intelligence sources were the envy of the entire agency. Jarvis spread his hands in an apologetic gesture. "John, chew my ass, if you will. It completely slipped my mind. I had every intention of RSVPing your fishing trip invitation." "Can you make it?" Gossard asked. "McDermott and Sampson over in Soviet analysis are going." "I never turn down a chance to show those Kremlin guys how to catch the big ones." "Good. The boat is reserved. We cast off from Slip 9 at the Plum Point Marina at 5 sharp Sunday." Gossard set his briefcase on Jarvis's desk and opened it. "Incidentally, I had 2 motives for stopping by your sanctum sanctorum before heading home. The second is this." He dropped a folder in front of Jarvis. "I'll let you take it over the weekend, providing you promise not to shit-can it along with your old paperback spy novels." Jarvis smiled. "Small chance of that. What have you got?" "The data you asked for concerning a weird South African feasibility plan called Wild Rose." Jarvis's brows raised. "That was fast work. I only put in the request this afternoon." "The African section does not allow the moss to grow," Gossard said, pontificating. "Anything I need to know before reading it?" "Nothing of any earth-shattering consequence, pretty much as you suspected, a wild pipe dream." "Then Hiram Lusana was telling the truth." "Insofar as the plan actually exists," Gossard replied, "you'll especially enjoy the plot. The concept is intriguing as hell." "You've piqued my curiosity. Just how do the South Africans posing as AAR blacks intend to carry out the raid?" "Sorry," Gossard said, smiling devilishly. "That would be giving away the meat of the story." Jarvis threw him a serious look. "Can you fully trust the quality of your source?" "My source is genuine, all right. Strange sort of duck. Insists on going under the code name of Emma. We've never been able to establish an identity. His information is solid enough. He sells to anybody and everybody willing to pay." "I gather you doled out a pretty penny for Operation Wild Rose," Jarvis said. "Not really. It was included in a box with 50 other documents. We paid only $10,000 for the lot." As the photographs dropped from the dryer into a basket, Sam Jackson scooped them up and neatly jiggled their edges until they were straight and orderly. He was a tall, angular black man with braided hair, a youthful face, and long, slender hands. He passed Daggett the photos and pulled his apron off over his head. "That's all she wrote." "How many?" Daggett asked. "About 30 that clearly show faces. I checked out the contact prints with a magnifying glass. All the rest were nothing shots." "A shame they aren't in color." "Next time, hang something besides those blue lights," said Jackson. "They might hype a sexy gig, but they sure ain't got what it takes to make sharp color transparencies." Daggett carefully studied the 8x10 black and white prints. He went through them a second time. The third time, he sifted out 10 and put them inside a briefcase. The remaining 20 he handed to Jackson. "Put these together with the negatives and contact prints in an envelope." "You're taking them with you?" "I think it best if I alone am responsible for their safekeeping, don't you agree?" It was clear Jackson did not. He threw Daggett an uneasy look. "Hey, man, photographers aren't in the habit of giving up their negatives. You're not going to produce these for sale, are you? I don't mind shooting a private porno job for a good customer, but I'm not about to make a commercial living at it. Trouble with the fuzz I can do without." Daggett closed upon Jackson until their faces were only inches apart. "I am not Hey Man," he said coldly. "I am United States Congressman Frederick Daggett. Do you get the message, brother?" For a brief moment, Jackson glared back. Then, slowly, he lowered his eyes and stared at the chemical stains on the linoleum floor. Daggett held all the cards, bankrolled by his congressional powers. The photographer had no choice but to fold. Suit yourself, he said. Daggett nodded, and then, as if dismissing Jackson's objections completely, casually smiled. I'd appreciate it if you'd hurry things up. I have a lovely but anxious lady waiting in the car outside. She's the impatient type, if you know what I mean. Jackson slid the negatives, contact prints, and 8x10 glossies into a large manila envelope and handed it to Daggett. About my fee. Daggett flipped him $100 bill. But we agreed on $500, Jackson said. Consider your labors an unselfish act on behalf of your country, Daggett said as he walked to the door. Then he turned. Oh, and one more thing. Just so you won't be inconvenienced by unforeseen problems in the future, it might be a good idea to forget this whole episode. It never happened. Jackson gave the only possible reply. Whatever you say, Congressman. Daggett nodded and left, closing the door quietly behind him. Turkey shit, son of a bitch, Jackson hissed through clenched teeth as he removed another set of the photographs from a cabinet drawer. You're gonna get yours. Dale Jarvis's wife was used to his habit of reading in bed. She kissed him goodnight, rolled into her customary fetal position, facing away from the beam of the lamp on his night table, and soon drifted asleep. Settling himself in, Jarvis arranged two pillows behind his back, bent the high-intensity light to the proper angle, and pulled his Ben Franklin specs low on his nose. He propped the folder lent him by John Gossard on his raised knees and began reading. As he turned the pages, he jotted notes on a small pad. At 2 o'clock in the morning, he closed the folder on Operation Wild Rose. He lay back and stared into nothingness for several minutes, considering whether to drop the folder back in Gossard's lap and forget about it, or have the outlandish plan investigated. He decided to compromise. Easing slowly out of bed so as not to disturb his wife, Jarvis padded to his den, where he picked up a telephone and expertly punched its touch system in the dark. His call was answered on the first ring. This is Jarvis. I want a rundown on the current status of all foreign and United States battleships. Yes, that's right, battleships. On my desk sometime tomorrow. Thank you. Good night. Then he returned to bed, kissed his wife lightly on the cheek, and turned out the lamp.